Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth podcast, the We Are the Kings of the Weekend edition, as Dave Lapham joins me to break down the 2024 Bengals draft class. The Bengals Booth podcast is brought to you by Paycor, proud to be the Bengals' official HR software provider. By Alta Fiber, future-proof fiber internet designed to elevate your home, business, and community to a new level. And by Kettering Health, the best care for the best fans. Kettering Health is the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. Now, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. It's the greatest thing since a perfectly struck golf shot. I played golf with a buddy a few days ago, and on one par three, I hit a 7-iron as well as it could possibly be hit. It was majestically high and straight as an arrow. It looked like the shot tracker that you would see if you were watching PGA Tour coverage on TV. Now, unfortunately, I hit the ball so well that it flew well past the flag. But you know what? So what? It was perfectly struck. The type of shot that keeps you coming back for more. Now, let's get to day three of the draft. The Bengals had 6 picks on Saturday, and frankly, I'm surprised they used all of them. I would have been willing to bet that at some point, they would have traded one of their extra 6th or 7th rounders to move up. But they didn't, and you never know what day three pick is going to pan out. Their first selection on Saturday was tight end Eric All, a Cincinnati kid from Fairfield High School who spent most of his college career at Michigan before finishing with a season at Iowa. Eric undoubtedly would have gone higher than the 4th round if not for injuries. He had a back problem 2 years ago and tore his ACL last season. Here's offensive coordinator Dan Pitcher.
Very well-rounded skill set, size, athleticism, contributor in both the pass game and the run game. He's physical. We think he can be really an all-around tight end that can help us in all phases.
Eric said it was surreal to be drafted by his hometown team, and he sounded giddy about the opportunity to catch passes from Joe Burrow.
It's crazy. I remember watching the man at LSU just doing his thing and just playing the team. You know, he sets the standard for the quarterbacks in the league, and he's just a dog, you know. It's going to be crazy catching the ball from him.
In the 5th round, the Bengals chose cornerback Josh Newton out of TCU. He's not a burner, as he ran a 4.5 40 at the combine, but Newton was highly productive with 40 pass breakups in his college career. Here's defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo.
A lot to like. Plays inside, plays outside. Played a bunch of games at nickel, as I mentioned. He's had over 30-plus tackles in 3 consecutive years. Seven interceptions in his career. First team all Big 12 in 22. So great kid, great football instincts, awareness, like everything about his game.
Newton isn't shy about saying where he would like to play and why he would like to play there.
I mean, honestly, I like outside because really the best is, you know, outside shit, the outside money. If I had to pick, yeah, outside, because, you know, the outside money, then, you know, that's the X matchups and all that. So, I mean, bro, it's whatever I fit in and whatever the coach need. Like, I'm trying to be a Swiss Army knife.
With their first pick of the 6th round, the Bengals chose another tight end, 6'5" Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. He's a receiver more than a blocker and actually broke Rob Gronkowski's school record for most career catches by a tight end. Here's Zach Taylor.
He can win in the pass game. He can win, and I think you guys can picture tight ends that have success here in the past couple years for us, you know, where they turn something short and something much bigger, you know, on a 3rd and 5. They turn it into 1st down. They break tackles. He's got really good awareness, zone awareness. He's just got that savviness that I think is critical for our tight ends to have. He can be a threat down the middle of the field. He's got good nuance on his routes. And I think he's continuing to develop as a blocker. He's got the body type for it, 6'5". I think he could be up in the high 240s and So did a lot of research on these guys. You know, we've watched these top, I mean, I don't even know how many times we've watched these tight ends, but really like them. Jed Fish is a good friend of mine. So I've watched Arizona play for the last 3 years, every game probably. And, you know, had seen Tanner, and then you studied the tape, and I really liked it. And Jed confirmed all the things that I thought about him.
One knock on McLaughlin is his age. He was on college rosters for 6 years and turned 25 last month.
Through the process, you could, you know, some said it was a benefit, some said it was a negative, but I believe it to be a benefit. I've always been kind of a late bloomer, and you know, I'm gonna ride with it. My age is what it is, but I'm excited to you know, go out there and continue to develop. So I think my best ball is ahead of me.
Later in the sixth, Cincinnati picked edge rusher Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss. He's 6'3", 260, and had 19 sacks in his college career. So what does Cedric bring to the table?
Oh, I bring a lot of athleticism. My explosion off my with my get off, my speed when I'm running, my strength. I feel like I got a lot to bring to the team.
With their first pick of the seventh round, the Bengals chose another member of the Ole Miss defense, safety Dejon Anthony. He's a feel-good story, having started his college career as a walk-on at the Division II level.
I appreciate his story and why he did all the things that he did to get to where he's at today. And to have his name called on draft night, I think is special for him. And he's a guy that, you know, you learn more information about when you bring him in here on the 30 visit. Our scouts had done that. Our coaches got a chance to do that and really liked him. Thought there was a really good fit for him. But I do appreciate his story when you hear from him and the things he's gone through to get to where he is today.
The Bengals' final draft pick was Matt Lee, a slightly undersized center, at least in terms of weight, who spent most of his college career at UCF before ending it with a season at the University of Miami. He'll get a chance to compete with Trey Hill for the opportunity to back up Ted Karras.
I think it's a great fit for him. You know, I think it's he did a great job down there this year in Miami, and so I think at that point that was a great pick for us, and so we're excited to get him in here, and I think Ted will take to him and have a chance to show him the ropes.
Lee earned all-league honors 3 times in the last 4 years. The Bengals Booth Podcast is brought to you by Paycor, proud to be the Bengals' official HR software provider, by Alta Fiber, future-proof fiber internet designed to elevate your home, business, and community to a new level, and by Kettering Health, the best care for the best fans. Kettering Health is the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. Now, time for an in-depth look at this year's draft class with my broadcast partner, Dave Lapham. All right, Lap, before we get to day 3 of the draft, Zach Taylor actually made a little news at the end of today's proceedings, telling reporters that Dax Hill will be tried out at cornerback in training camp and will be given the opportunity to compete for a starting spot. I would assume that would be on the outside, competing with DJ Turner. What do you make of that announcement by Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of people probably after the draft said, geez, I wish we'd get a cornerback a little earlier, you know, or maybe we'll address the cornerback position in free agency or the other phase of it, the second round of veteran free agency. But, you know, this news, I think Lou Anarumo would pretty much let the cat out of the bag, basically, with some of his pressures earlier, that was under strong consideration. And when they start to go public that way, it's not really a huge surprise. But, you know, you look at him, he has cornerback speed. There's no question about it. Now, you know, flipping his hips and doing all the things the corners have to do. And the one thing that it does do, though, is it does minimize how much you have to recognize and communicate and all those sort of things. So that part of it will be, I think, a fairly easy transition. It's just this guy is a talented player physically, great guy. You know, I think it's like just have to find the right home for him. And he has played, they did play him in the slot, and they did kick him outside some in his rookie season. I mean, he got a taste of everything in the very early stages of his career. So it's not like it's not like, boy, that's a joke. Why even think about that? Be interesting to see how he competes and you know, where it goes. You can always make other moves, but that's the spot that that they're going to, try first with him.
And I think they're trying to find a spot where they can get him on the field. With Geno Stone, Von Bell, and Jordan Battle, I didn't see a lot of opportunities for snaps playing at safety if those guys are healthy.
Yeah, and obviously the big knock on him last year was recognizing and communicating when offenses motioned and shifted and did all the things that they do, getting everybody aligned properly in the back end, and they made some moves to address that, that issue. And so, yeah, trying to find a home for a guy that definitely has National Football League physical abilities. There's no question about it. I think another thing they could do is have him cover the tight end and then, pressure off the edge, give him a couple assignments in the middle of the football field. And I think if they're going to put him outside, you got to think they're hoping he's going to be in their top three. He'll be out there in nickel and dime packages. But with the experiences that he has doing everything he can do, including, like I said, if people are out there in, one tight end, three wide receiver personnel packages, he could be the guy that's all over that tight end, and Lurie can come up with pressure packages off of that. And so it's not like Dax Hill, we can't find anything to do with that Dax Hill. They can still, he's maybe not a Swiss Army knife, but he's still probably a jackknife.
Yeah, cover the tight end and blitz. I mean, those are two roles that he definitely can do.
No doubt.
All right, let's talk about day three draft picks, beginning with the fourth rounder, a local kid, tight end Eric All, who spent most of his college career at Michigan before finishing up with 1 year at Iowa, unofficially tight end U. Eric broke out in 2021, then he suffered a back injury in 2022. He was Iowa's go-to receiver early last year, and then he tore his ACL. He's solid as a pass catcher and as a blocker if he can stay healthy.
No question. And, the thing that, that I liked that was just so real is, when he was trying to put into words what it would be like playing with Joe Burrow and trying to be a target for him that Joe can trust over the middle of the football field, he almost choked up and became, struggling to find the words to describe it. I mean, excited is probably not descriptive enough. And that's that's huge. That's big. And he's obviously he's obviously gifted. I mean, he just can't. You're talking major injuries. It's his game has been retarded from a development standpoint because of that. But he can get get leverage on defenders real early. It's to set up a break. He's a really good route runner. He can do both. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's a very, very talented athlete. He can break tackles yards after contact. He's a very, very talented football player. He's got very, very quick feet. He gets as a blocker. I mean, he gets up to the next level and even to the third level pretty darn quickly. So he's got it all. I think he's extremely, extremely strong, athletic, physically talented. Just the injury gods have to let him alone for a while.
And he could be the best dual-purpose tight end that they have. Mike Gesicki is largely a receiver, so is Tanner Hudson. Drew Sample is obviously best known for his blocking ability, and Eric All, if healthy, is a guy that really can do both.
Yeah, and now that they've drafted a couple of tight ends, you've got five tight ends that one has this skill set, another one has maybe a little bit different skill set. Like you say, Eric All may be the guy that has the most versatile package. He can do the most things at a very significant level. So he's definitely gonna roster. And he's definitely going to make contributions, I would think, with this football team. I mean, he's 6'4 plus, over 250 pounds, runs well. He's a big man. Wingspan is 79 inches. His hands over 10 inches.
his arms are over 33 inches. I mean, it's just amazing how big and athletic and strong and quick and fast. It's the land of the Giants. The National Football League is the land of the Giants, and they are so gifted physically as well.
We'll get to the other tight end that they drafted in just a moment, but before their fifth-round pick was announced, you were saying, take Newton, take Newton. And sure enough, they took cornerback Josh Newton out of TCU, where he played in the national championship game a couple of years ago. Average size, average speed. He ran a 4.51 at the combine, but extremely productive with 7 picks and 40 passes defensed in his college football career.
Yeah, and that speaks to his intelligence. You know, that's what, you know, they say he's a high character guy, and he's got an extremely high football IQ, as well as overall intelligence. You know, he's another guy that played at a big program. You know, I mean, that's the thing, Dan. The common denominator of the past few years stayed intact. Big programs that have competed for national championships, in some cases have won national championships, and a bunch of these guys are captains of their football team. In some instances, 2-time captains. I mean, that's the formula that has worked for the Cincinnati Bengals in putting together, you know, the strong locker room that they have. And this guy's he's definitely a strong prospect. I mean, he transferred from Louisiana Monroe to TCU. So, you know, he said, you know, when we were talking to him, what do you attribute your ball skills to? Well, he played wide receiver. So, in my opinion, guys that have moved from the wide receiver position to play in the defensive backfield, their familiarity with route trees and watching body language when guys are trying to get in and out of cuts. And it's almost, you know, yeah, I remember what I did when I had to do those kind of things. You have that type of experience to draw upon, and usually that's advantageous to those guys.
They had 2 picks in the 6th round, and the first was the other tight end we alluded to, Tanner McLaughlin. He is a Canadian who played college football at Arizona, and he is a receiver. Zach Taylor specifically said, if you picture the tight ends that the Bengals have had over the past few years who could turn a short pass into a first down or something bigger, that's who you're talking about in Tanner McLaughlin.
But he's a big one. You know, 6'5", 244 pounds, you know, runs 4.6. I mean, you know, he's almost 4.6 flat. I mean, that's a pretty good combination right there. You know, and he is he's a guy that you can move around formations. You know, I think he's got room for growth in his game. Like you said, he's not going to put his hand in the dirt at the end of the line of scrimmage and dominate defensive ends and outside linebackers. But he has he's got soft hands. He's got a decent catch radius. You know, he'll fight for contested catches. He shows, you know, effort after the catch to get some yak. He's got the strength to do that. So he's a talented guy. There's no doubt. I mean, he's got room for growth. I mean, I think he's got just the coach to help him get there. I think the strength and conditioning coaches are going to like to work with this guy because I think he needs to improve his strength, you know, particularly even in his legs, to get some leg drive to move people off the line of scrimmage. That's, you know, that's an issue or an area that he realizes he needs to improve. But again, this is a guy that you look at it, he was best player on the board. You know, he has a chance to roster meaning, you know, practice squad anyway. So why not take a chance? And that's the thing, I think, from probably the 5th round on, it was, okay, well, who's the best available player? We're going to trust our board. We busted our butt putting this thing together. And I think some of these picks down the stretch were just best available player. And maybe the last pick at the center position was, okay, let's not have to go fight for one in college free agency. Let's make sure we get a center in training camp to take some of the load off of Ted Karras, the veteran center we've got, and see if we can, you know, develop a guy. Maybe he's a practice squad player. We can try to develop him if we feel like, you know, he's a good enough prospect at that spot.
Their second pick in the sixth round was an edge rusher, Cedric Johnson, 6'3", 260 out of Ole Miss. They're hoping that Miles Murphy and Joseph Osai break out this year and really contribute as pass rushers, but Johnson had 19 sacks in his college football career, and he'll be looking to show that he's got some juice in training camp as an edge guy.
Yeah, again, best available player, you know, I think. And but, I mean, his measurables, you know, these guys are back in the – if these numbers were around in the 80s, it'd be like, are you kidding me? You know, 6'3", 260-plus, 4'6", 40, you know, wingspan of almost 80 inches. I mean, you know, twitchy athleticism, a powerful player. Played at a big program and a big conference. He's definitely a guy that has confidence. I thought in his presser, he was almost like jumping through the phone to start his opportunity at some sort of a camp. I mean, we talked about hands before, how important hands have become, and he shows powerful hands, and he's athletic with his knee bend and attacking blocks. He does set the edge very effectively, and he can stack and shed, you know, and he's got speed to chase plays on the perimeter, and you know, he's definitely a guy that I can see why they felt like he was the best available opportunity when he was drafted. There's a lot to work with there. There's no doubt about it. He talked about his versatility. He's played a bunch of different spots up and down the line of scrimmage in terms of, you know, 5 technique, 7 technique, 9 technique, whatever. And he's even played inside a little bit. So, he's beaten average tackles in the SEC. Probably they're cut above average. Let's see what he does against more advanced players when he comes to the National Football League.
With the Bengals' first pick in the seventh round, they took one of Cedric Johnson's Ole Miss teammates, safety Dejon Anthony, and he is the great story in this year's draft class. He's from Richmond, Virginia, no scholarship offers coming out of high school. He started his college football career as a Division II walk-on, and he ended his college football career in the SEC last year, where he led the Rebels in interceptions and passes defensed. He'll be probably looking for a spot on the practice squad and looking to show that he can contribute on special teams.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, what did he started his career at Shepherd University, then transferred from Liberty. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, here's a guy that was not going to let his dream die and believed in himself. You know, he's got some flashy athleticism. You know, I mean, He moves pretty darn well, and he's doggedly determined to make plays all over the football field. He's got an outstanding change of direction, and he can flip his hips. He can stay in phase with receivers vertically, and that's important. You know, at the safety position, we know all about that. He's got solid range, you know, when he's playing over the top in two high schemes. So I think Lou Anarumo likes that. He's got a lot of a lot of traits that they like, and I think again, best available athlete at this stage, you know, in the draft. He tracks the football very well. He's got great tracking skills. So there's a lot to work with there. And the other thing, he's a willing defender and run support. You have to have that at the safety position. You know, he's got a desire to make an impact when he closes on people. So it's going to be interesting. I think. The thing you worry about is sometimes he gets bullied by blockers, you know, when he's in the box at the collegiate level. So now you're jumping to bullies in the National Football League. It's going to be something to keep your eye out on.
Their 10th and final draft pick was center Matt Lee. I saw him face UC several times while playing at UCF, and then he transferred to the University of Miami for his final year and was a second-team All-ACC player. Lap, I would think he's at least got a chance to be Ted Karras's backup in a training camp battle with the incumbent Trey Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the thing that jumps out at me, 32 and an eighth-inch arms, and that's obviously why he's playing center. But, you know, he's 6'3½, over 300 pounds, and pretty much a 5'40" guy. I mean, that's some pretty good measurables right there. And like you say, competed at an all conference level. I mean, this is another guy that if he was still around, why compete with other teams to try to, you know, get him into training camp? The Bengals probably did themselves a favor financially to take him in the seventh round, because this is the type of guy that I think he would have gotten probably some interest from multiple teams, you know. So I think it takes a hell of a lot more than just a training camp body, but it also, you know, helps Ted Karras and alleviate some of the snap load there. And like you said, Trey Hill will be in competition, and as we've always said, no matter what the sporting endeavor, competition breeds excellence performance. So you look around and say, why did they draft a guy in my position? I don't care what round it is. Why did they draft somebody? Let's pick it up. You know, let's not Ted Karras, Trey Hill. He's got to now buckle down and keep developing and advancing. And that lifts the whole boat.
All right, let's hit on some overall thoughts about the draft. I've got, I guess, three things that really jump out to me about the class that I really like. Number one, they address their biggest need by using two top 100 picks on defensive tackles. We had the chance to interact with both of them today, and Chris Jenkins is going to be a fan favorite, a bubbly, effervescent personality, and obviously a very good track record as a player at Michigan. I don't know if he'll ever be a Pro Bowl guy, but I think he's going to be a very solid and reliable, high-effort, good player on the Bengals' defensive line.
Just an engaging personality. Easy smile. He smiles all the time. I mean, he's, you can see why his teammates voted him to be a captain. McKinley Jackson, the other big defensive tackle you talk about, has a little bit different type of a personality. But again, very welcoming, easy to talk to, very approachable. I mean, these guys, I think, like you say, man, they're going to be fan favorites, because they're just they like being around people. They don't shy away from it, and it's I think that's going to be something that the community will embrace for sure. And they're good football players. they're obviously drafted for a need. I mean, you look at McKinley Jackson, the dude's like almost 330 pounds, long arms, big old hands. Again, we talk about these hands on these guys, how strong they are with their hands. And Chris Jenkins looks that he's another guy that carries his weight very well. I mean, the guy's 300 pounds. He doesn't really look it, you know. I mean, he runs a 4.940 at 6'2½, 300 pound guy. He's got some good arm length. 34-inch arm length is a good thing to have when you're in the interior of the defensive line, trying to control, you know, big monsters that have long arms as well. He's almost got an 80-inch wingspan. So talking to him a little bit, I think it's going to be very interesting, because, I mean, his pass rush ability and traits and athleticism, I don't think has been tapped into yet, because Michigan is very, very disciplined in how they do everything. I mean, it's like, okay, on this particular play, you stay in this gap no matter what, even if it's a third and seven, or if you're going to pass rush, you have to pass rush in this lane, and you have to be on the outside portion. It's very, very structured, very, very disciplined. There's not a whole lot of freedom there. So, and I'm not saying that, you know, you come to the National Football League and you're out of control, and you're taking this wide rush up the football field, you're not staying in your gap responsibilities and all that sort of thing. But I think that Coach Holly and Lou Anarumo are going to say, look, you got some athleticism, you got some overall body strength that's incredible, and some explosiveness to you, and you can do a lot more as an interior pass rush, and we're going to give you the freedom to do it, and we're going to improve your inventory of moves, and let's get after it.
The next thing that I really liked was the fact that they took a home run swing in the first round by taking Amarius Mims. There's some risk involved, obviously, since he only had 8 college starts, but they have not drafted an offensive lineman that looks like that since Andrew Whitworth. And when we were clustered around him with other reporters talking to him after he arrived in Cincinnati, I honestly thought to myself, how does anybody get past this guy? He's maybe the first 340-pound person I've ever seen in my life that looks like he probably has a six-pack. I mean, he is so solidly built and so gigantic. You've got a chance to have a star if it pans out.
Absolutely. I mean, it's incredible to see. Did you shake his hand, Dan?
My hand was buried inside of his hand when we shook.
Oh, I know. I shook his hand. I'm like, whoa, man, this is a mucker now. he's got some big, old, strong hands on him, and he's got, you know, those long arms to go with it. It's like Inspector Gadget that has oversized hands, and man, and he's broad, he's wide, he's thick, everything that you would want. He's big in the right places, you know, and like you say, it looks like he's carrying about 285, 290, and the dude's 340. It's incredible, you know, and I asked him, so when did you have your growth spurt? And he grew like in one summer, like about 5 or 6 inches. It was, and I said, man, when you were laying in bed, could you feel yourself growing? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, but he's very athletic for a guy his size as well. I mean, he played some basketball, he put the shot, he threw the discus, and I think he's very coachable, and the Bengals coaches were talking about not only the games that he was able to play in and avoid injury, matching up against really good players in college football playoff games and things of that ilk, the practice tape, you know, he's going to his probably some of his toughest competition, if not his most difficult competition, came in practice every day. You got, you know, 5 defensive linemen when he was there that were first round, that have been drafted in the first round. So it's like, you know, you're talking about the cream of the crop in the SEC, you know, and then that's the place to be in college football. So and like we talked about before, Dan, with him, in my estimation, the floor is the tape, and it's solid, it's limited, but the tape that's there is extremely solid when you watch this guy. But his ceiling is unlimited because of the fact that he's only just begun. And I think he has the highest ceiling of any player in the draft, particularly in the Bengals draft, but I'm talking about in the draft in general, not just offensive line or offensive tackle. I mean, this dude has got an incredible ceiling. He's got a long ways to go before he rests, and I think Frank Pollitt's going to get a lot out of that big bad one.
All right, the final big picture thought from me has to do with the Bengals culture. I think Zach Taylor and his staff have done such a fantastic job in recent years of building a great culture that it has allowed them to take not huge chances, but slight chances with somebody like Jermaine Burton, who obviously struggled to control his emotions at times at Alabama and probably before that at Georgia. They're counting on the fact that this is such a good group led by Joe Burrow that Jermaine Burton will learn the way it has to be done and should be done and will allow his incredible gifts to come through.
And I agree 100,000%, because you put tape on and watch this guy. I mean, I remember when, you know, okay, wide receiver, who's left on the wall? Burton's the guy. Burton's the best wide receiver left on the board right now. In fact, in my opinion, the dude had first-round physical talents, first round. You know, and then obviously he didn't go, and it cost him. So, you know, maybe the big lesson, unfortunately, and I think he could have gone in the first round if it was totally clean, his whole portfolio as such. So everything that everybody's been telling him about getting control of yourself and, you know, make sure that you take care of business, you know, off the football field as well as on the football field, keep your composure, keep your head. Well, it cost him. I mean, in my mind, it cost him. So maybe this is a bitter pill lesson, you know, that is going to be the final component, the final wake-up call to to make sure that you take care of business. You start to mature in that regard, because man, this dude physically, geez, I mean, he can get vertical in a hurry. You average 18 yards per reception in your career, and over 20 yards per reception in 2023, which was number one in the SEC against that type of competition. I mean, his ability to get vertical is as good as there is in the country. You know, I mean, he can get it done in a hurry, and he's a quality route runner because he's been working with our guy TJ Hushmanzada, who was as good a route runner as I've seen. And the theme when I watch him that I've seen that he's gotten from TJ, he has a little different wiggle, a little subtle different move when he's running the same. So he'll run the same route in a route tree three different times in a game and give a defensive back just a little bit different look in it every single time. And that was what made TJ Hushmanzada such a great route runner, is he never ran, you know, his route tree the same way. You know, he always came up with some sort of little improvisation, some sort of a little, just to not let the defensive backs lock in, man. You know, keep them on their heels and not on their toes. And this kid, I've seen some of that TJ's, you know, imparted to him. So I think the Bengals got themselves a good one to work with, man. And, you know, I hope it's not a situation where, you know, collectively let's hold on to our butts, because it's going to be a roller coaster ride. Hopefully he's learned and continues that maturation process, because he's a player, man. He's a dog, like we said. D-A-W-G, boy, big dog.
Final question. Have you talked enough about the draft over the last 72 hours?
Oh, hell yes. There are no two ways about that, as they say. I mean, yeah, it is. I am drafted out. Oof.
So we will wrap it up here, and I'll look forward to talking more about the draft with you in a couple of days. How's that?
That sounds like a plan, Coach. That 48 hours would be, I'm not gonna look at, talk about or whatever. It's just going to be a mass dose and mass quantities of grandkids.
If you miss them, you can go back and listen to our conversations following the first 2 days of the draft. And then coming up on Monday, I'll get the front office perspective as I'll be joined by the Bengals Director of College Scouting, Mike Potts. That's going to do it for this episode, brought to you by Paycor, proud to be the Bengals' official HR software provider. By AltaFiber, future-proof fiber internet designed to elevate your home, business, and community to a new level. And by Kettering Health, the best care for the best fans. Kettering Health is the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this podcast. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find us. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.